All right, good morning, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for the NEMA Demand Management Working Group meeting. My name is Stephanie Hori. I'm with the Consensus Building Institute, serving as facilitator for today's meeting. We're waiting for another individual to arrive, but we're going to get started slowly, but we'll get underway with the first pieces. So just to start out for today, how about let's do a round robin of introductions for folks. And we do have a couple of, I guess, questions from our groundwater commission. So when we get to Adam, if you can also kind of introduce your specific role for today, that'd be great. But all right, so we'll just do a round of introductions. Again, I pointed to you guys in the room that those two are mics there, so as much as you can speak towards that. Any kind of like side conversations won't be picked up very well by the mic. So let's move on to the introductions, starting with Justin.
Justin Jensen, Deputy Director.
I remember you've got to be your time.
Bill Moore.
Adam Englehart, so I'm Groundwater Commission member, not on the committee. Talked to Justin yesterday, thought it would make sense for me to join today to give some background and kind of how the form of it came about, some of the rationale behind it, just to set the stage for any further discussion. So whenever you're ready, Justin, I'm ready to do
Yep. Steve Grunewald, grower.
Ian Turnbull, Bay Area.
Brendan Flynn, grower, serving Land Management Group.
Body of Commission.
Michael Ward, District 4.
Mel Crane, Commission.
Perfect. And there, we have everyone here, so we can get started right now. So I'll first start out today's meeting is pretty straightforward. I didn't bother doing kind of the slide that we normally do. There's two primary topics for today, so I'm just going to use our agenda to frame up today. But we'll first start out with just some updates since a lot has happened. We've gone through the holidays. You know, there is a lot was happening in the last part of November and December. So I think it's really important for to catch folks up on what's occurred, what's different now, and what's kind of our marching orders going forward given the new circumstances. So we'll spend time getting on the same page for that. And then at this point, we now have kind of two proposals to work with, which is by all means fantastic. And so want to get a sense for looks like you've had these documents since December, but I think it'd be good for us all to kind of just get a quick review of them. And then most of today's meeting is going to be then kind of discussing those two proposals and kind of trying to figure out like would love to hear from everyone of just what elements of the proposals do you like? What do you still have concerns with, questions about, and where you might have some ideas about different improvements? It would be great. We don't have to resolve any of these things, but it's been very useful to voice those and make sure that we're all hearing that. And then since we folks might be aware, we now have kind of an extension until, and then so the next milestone is April to come up with a new proposal to present to the Commission Select Board, or at least give them a substantial update. So the important thing is like, okay, what's the game plan between now and April? So I want to make sure that we have a clear sense of like what needs to be prioritized, particularly by this group. And then also I get a sense for the priorities for the remaining year because there's still some things that are important but aren't necessarily going to get completely resolved by April.
Is there a pickle date or just
that's the
beginning of April or end of April?
It'll be at the board meeting for April.
Which is
April.
So third week.
It's actually going to be the 1, 2, 3, 4th Thursday because of, and that is because the directors can't all do Wednesdays right now. So there's a short, brief change in the schedule that's going to occur, and it'll be on the 4th Thursday of the month. So that stuff's all going to get put on the website. We'll be out here fairly soon. I just needed to obviously confirm that we could get the whole facilities in order to do that, which I just got. So that's going to be a major change for the board time frame. But in April,
we canceled the January and February board meetings. There are not January or February board meetings, which the board gave us permission to do in that last meeting.
So we need board.
Blood control board of directors.
Oh, yeah.
And the April deadline you're talking about is for the commission to present what their proposal.
That's exactly right.
So ours is to the commission.
You present to the commission, yeah. The commission makes recommendations.
We're going to be a little earlier than that.
Yes.
We have to be. Yes, yes.
So it would be the second Wednesday?
The second Wednesday.
The second Wednesday in April.
Groundwater Commission is not canceled.
So that's our.
We will have Groundwater Commission meetings during that entire process, including next week.
And you, need at least, what, 4 days ahead of that to get the packets out as well?
I have to have them out on the Thursday prior to that week. So
we're looking at April 15th.
Ish.
It's going to be last day.
We should
be shooting a little earlier than that.
Yeah, I would recommend that we do it for that Thursday before, that Wednesday before.
It's the 8th?
Which is like the 8th, yeah.
So 8th is the deadline for this committee.
And yeah. When is our last scheduled meeting prior to the 8th at this point?
This group?
Yeah.
We're going to schedule meetings in this meeting.
Okay.
And that and a lot of that's going to have to do with, you know, what sort of direction you guys want to go. What you want to look at, how many meetings you want to have in order to make that happen. So we can do that today.
Okay. So
any other questions before we can build them? So next one is just to get an update of since our maybe a quick recap of what occurred in the last part of November and since I know several folks weren't able to attend that working group meeting. And then the commission and the board meetings that occurred in December and our marching orders.
Yeah. So we're going to start with the commission meeting level. At the commission, both presentations were given. The only direction was an extension for 4 months. So nothing, no other direction came from the commission except for an extension for 4 months. And that was the recommendation to the board. The board accepted that recommendation in the next meeting and gave a 4 month extension, also with no consensus direction other than a 4 month extension. So the only thing that is on the books right now for us is a 4 month extension from the original deadline. So, and that is that April.
I think Brendan also asked about what activities transpired at our last meeting on this level. And so, as I recall, I don't think we had the alternate program presented to this group prior to the commission meeting.
You did not.
That's correct. Okay. Yeah. I knew on the Farm Bureau board level, which I'm part of, we did get that, but it was like a day or two before. It was right at the last minute to get it on the commission agenda.
Yeah.
To even consider an alternate plan.
Yeah, it came.
So we never really got a look at it until it. I mean, immediately before the commission.
Right. Yes. Oh, yeah. It came to me the day before I had to post it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was last minute for sure.
Can we review dates so that we had a board of supervisors in, I would say, self-directed, self-imposed date, which was what originally?
So we had...
There was
as part of our approved groundwater sustainability plan, which was adopted by this board and approved by the state.
Yes.
We had a deadline of January 1, 2026 to create a demand management program.
Okay, just wanted to be super clear. That date was established by EWR and mandated to the GSA, or
that date was
established by the Board of Supervisors.
That was established by the GSA and submitted to the DWR for approval, which they did.
So it was self-imposed.
But it was a chosen date by the GSA.
Okay.
Right?
That for the approval or submission and approval of a demand management plan.
Yeah, it actually just says that there will be an approved demand management plan by January 1, 2026, which is
and that was
the board's approval.
There was a board of supervisors resolution.
Correct.
That codified that date.
That's exactly right.
Codified is
correct. Yeah, but whatever. Yes.
Stated that date. And that that's what was voted on through
by and the also board. Added to our GSP, our groundwater sustainability plan, and part of the approval process for DWR.
Okay. But DWR said, great, happy you're planning on that date, but DWR did not make that date for the groundwater.
Correct statement.
Okay.
And in fact, Corning's is January 27, presented at the same time, and whoever stamped okay at the same time there too.
Yeah. So is there a legal date from DWR for a demand management plan that we're the DWR held to?
DWR does not require a demand management plan.
Okay.
DWR requires a groundwater sustainability plan that it reaches sustainability within a time frame, and they review your proposals about how to do that in your plan.
Oh.
So ultimately, there is no requirement for demand management. There could be other methodologies that could be reached. However, I will just say this. The regulation itself, Sigma, states that a GSA must reach sustainability by a date, must set a sustainable yield, right? And must create regulation within that period of time to reach that sustainability level.
And those dates are 2032.
2042 is the date to reach the level.
Okay. What's the 32 date? That's a date
That is a date associated. Well, 31 is the date in one proposal, and 32 is in the date in the other proposal. Okay. Those are about
an arbitrary date.
Those are number of years.
It's a milestone.
It's a set date in order to give a delayed action time to get everything together in both programs.
Okay, so that is an arbitrary date set by the GSA. In the GSP, or it's set in the
No, it's in the proposal. So it's supposed to be
all I need. Yeah, hey, this is the demand management plan. Certain thresholds, so we're going to work on implementation by a certain date.
Yeah, that's all. It's just so it's intended to give time to work out the final details. Yeah.
The reason I'm asking about dates is because it's important to make sure that we're understanding what we're being governed by.
Yes.
To achieve certain milestones, so that and because I'll say later, hopefully, like I said before, I think others have it, that we want to make sure we don't box ourselves in or paint ourselves in a corner with arbitrary dates to achieve arbitrary milestones, right?
Yeah.
So that's just, we leave that there for a moment and just say the dates, I think that for all of us to understand the dates.
Yeah. Can I
pass dates by law?
I would like to show you something really quick that might be helpful. Can I go to the Sigma data here really quick? Can you bring that up for me?
Bring that up. While I'm working on that, I think so. Yeah, it's really, really helpful to identify which are kind of like the GSA created dates versus which are the Sigma ones. So the 2042 would be end goal for this. The other one from Sigma, and then also from Sigma are the 5-year updates evaluation. So the next one, kind of the first 5-year update of this whole process, is
the end of this year.
Sigma, the state law of the land by which this is all being driven by, says you must, your basin must achieve sustainability by 2042.
Yep. As you will have set a sustainable yield, and you will be living within your water budget.
Right, as defined by your GSP.
And there are some levels. No, go to just Google Sigma data.
But I think it's noteworthy that we have to submit annual reports
annual reports.
Reports are really inconsistent. That we're
right.
not even making progress
right.
for 2042. They're going to probably call us out on
well,
it.
They already have.
Yeah.
The first review was
so, so we can't just kick everything down this early 2022.
It's getting worse. You're not doing anything. Please tell us how you're going to make this happen.
When was that?
That was in the last the review of our last annual report.
Which was?
It was submitted in April of last year, and we got the review, I think it was in July.
I believe it was July. Those comments on
our annual reporting.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, particularly Corning and Red Bluff.
Particularly Corning and Red Bluff.
I got a question on timing.
Yes.
My understanding from the supervisor director's meeting with the we're supposed to get something done in April.
Yes.
Yes.
Does that mean we had to get it approved by the directors in April?
All they gave was an extension for 4 months.
So,
so ultimately,
which extended their resolution time frame.
Extended their resolution time frame by 4 months. What happens in that 4 month period is
well,
not two people who make votes, not us, right? In the sense that it is our obligation to bring them something forward
yes.
in that 4 months, and then what they do with that is theirs.
And the resolution said,
well, that's my question. Our previous discussion, you said we had to get it done by the 8th. Maybe, well, I don't think it's 3 months.
Well, it's a 4 month extension from December, that December time frame.
Then they said,
they didn't say, by the way, you're all fired in April. That's, I mean, that's not the conversation. They said, hey, we're going to give you 4 months extension, bring back something.
And then we're going to look at it, and hopefully you have something ready. They're trying to
see what the progress.
Yeah, they will, and they're saying, basically, because there was some discussion about going longer, there was a few things like that. They're saying, hey, let's do 4 months for now. Come back to us.
Yeah.
Either tell us where you are or bring us something then. That's what we want to see in 4 months. We want to see what you got in 4 months. So ultimately, yes, it extended the resolution date night for 4 months, but they did not say, like I said, you're all fired if we don't get it that day. Or what, you know, whatever. There's some consequence associated.
I think it was also just the amount of work that this group has done, and then also the benefit of getting another proposal in the Farm Bureau. You now have two documents to work from. So all the work that this group has put into was demonstrated to the commission and the board that they acknowledge the progress, they acknowledge the accomplishments, and they value that they trust the group that identify the issues that need to be resolved and can be resolved, and give you the extension. So, well-earned extension.
All right. So, will you go with the groundwater levels tab?
Maybe.
Actually, you know what? Will you drain me really quick? Can I just do a little? Yes. Would that be all right with you?
I would love it.
Yes.
All right. I'm giving you a map.
I know it's. Don't know how these things even work. You selected. There we go. He's got to hit Harvard. Okay. So we want one of the votes open. There's your monitoring sites. Then let me down.
Mandate.
All right. And then zooming with this guy.
I think the zoom button's all the way on the top, right?
So it wants you
to on the right.
You can probably just
put my glasses on over there and make them right there.
Yeah, okay.
Can you orient this a little bit where I'm? Oh,
yeah, I see now. It's pretty thin up here. All right. So this is a map just for reference of monitored wells that are currently or have been in the past monitored by various agencies. The red ones that you're looking at right there are our monitoring sites. So those red dots are our stuff.
Our being
the GSA.
The GSA.
Yeah.
Are those then multi-completion wells or just
no.
wells?
No, there are representative monitoring sites. And so ultimately, if you look at one, let's pick, actually, let's go out here. It will show you the hydrograph. Graph. So this is its location. This is Rancho Cahama, by the way. No, I didn't. It's all good. This is only for a specific reference. All right, so we have in our plan a series of what they are referred to as interim milestones. This is, we created a roadmap to get to sustainability. And our sustainability is this measurable objective, right, that says we want to get to here, and that is our indicator of success, right? That's the goal. Those blue dots that you see are the interim milestones associated. As you can see, not all well sites go up, right? You can see right here, this is actually slightly lower. The milestones allow some amount of lowering in the groundwater level, but the vast majority do. They require you to raise groundwater levels over time. So in order, we as an agency are looking to say in our annual reports and our updates, here is what we have done to achieve our goal. And the DWR's goal is to say, yes, no, here's why no, here's why yes, here's what we are asking you for updates to tell us why you are not compliant. Right? So they are a reviewer, a reviewing a oversight agency.
So those were milestones presented in the GSP.
These are the adopted milestones in our groundwater sustainability plan that was approved by DWR.
Gotcha. So they took a look at all these milestones and said, yep, those are good milestones.
We're good to go.
Go forward and achieve your goals.
Go forward and achieve your goals. And tell us how you're achieving them and give us annual updates where you are. We'll review that. We'll give you
feedback. Annually report to us how you're doing on achieving your goals.
Yeah.
And you must achieve them by 2042.
And you must achieve them by 2042. So they have accepted our goals right now. Good. Our goals are approved. Right? So, but the thing that I want to talk about with this is that, and I think this is helpful, and I wish this was on the screen, but that's okay. So you see that these milestones are in pretty broad sections, approximately 5 years. And so ultimately, when we talk about this, right, we have an obligation every 5 years to update our plan and program, which, by the way, could include changing milestones, right? That could be approved. But update the program, meet our milestones, and also we are setting ourselves things in five-year patterns to sort of match that. That's why we referenced earlier about this 31 date.
Okay.
Right? It's the idea that, hey, we can do these things and put them in place before we have to do that next five-year update. So that's kind of what sort of influences that, if that makes sense.
And so is it fair to say that the demand management plan is something that will be implemented or is ongoing implementation to help us achieve those milestones?
Correct.
A component of how you might achieve those milestones.
That's how I would interpret it as well.
If it keeps raining 25 inches every year, you might not need a manage.
Bingo. Or, yeah, however many entire dates. Yeah.
Like, you could be
lucky and do nothing. You could get really lucky and do nothing.
And
you
just keep hitting your marks.
Or maybe not lucky and get flood every year. You don't do this, but then you have other problems, right? You make it really solid. It's what it is.
It's a backstop.
Yeah. So it
looks like you're not achieving, like if nature is not helping you out, you got to go in and do these things to manage your demand because you're in overtime.
Yes. Now, here's what I will tell you, and this might be helpful as well. Let's look at some other spots. So, we go down here.
I think that's important to understand because that's the demand management plan is. The activities are covered by those milestones.
It's a tactical time to achieve them all.
Yeah. All right.
It's not so to do anything.
Here is another scenario, right, where our groundwater levels are below our milestones currently. And part of the reason why DWR writes us a letter that says, hey, you guys are below your milestones. It looks like you are not going to hit your milestones. Explain to us how you're going to get there, right?
Yeah.
And so ultimately, they're saying, hey, you have one more dry year in this thing. They say, hey, you have one more dry year, and this thing gets down there farther. You are probably never going to get there. And so ultimately, they're saying, tell us how you get there. We want to know. We need to know in order to continue to approve this going down the road.
So I understand that graph, and the purple is a numerical number represented by a purple
triangle. That's the goal each 5-year period.
And that number is derived by what, the midpoint or something between those two measurement dates or measurement points?
You're talking about the triangles?
Yeah.
No, those are our actual approved.
No, I understand those are numbers.
How are they calculated?
You said we're way below that, and I'm looking at, you know, measurement dots that are going up and down.
Yes,
and
yes.
I'm assuming ones in the fall and ones in the spring. What, ones in the spring and ones in the summer, something like that.
Yep.
And you're saying we're way out of whack.
I'm not saying anything.
Oh.
DWR wrote a letter that says, you do not appear to be achieving your goals. You appear to be below. Let me show you some other ones. I'm
just the triangles are the lowest fall measurement. Is that what?
The lowest measurement. Yeah.
Oh, okay. That's what I wanted to
know. The lowest
dot is below.
Yep.
The most recent lowest dot is below the purple triangle.
Your own approved monitoring shows
not an average of. That's it. It's not an average of. It's just a measurement date.
A measurement date.
Okay. Justin, can you also clarify that these are measurable objectives, minimum thresholds, sustainable management criteria, that of it, specific to the GSP?
Yes.
So there is a possibility that the minimum thresholds, measurable objectives might be different within the context of demand management. We haven't had that discussion yet.
So, and then just something to point out. Red line down there, right? That's the threshold.
That's it.
And what that really means is you get down there, you are causing undesirable results. You must do something to immediately resolve that problem. Because then now you're in the undesirable results category, and per Sigma law, undesirable results is the bad, right? That thing should never be.
And demand management is one of the tools.
To prevent going there.
Prevent going there and if you get there, you're solving being there.
And those levels were determined during development of the GSP by not this group, but
some of
the associated members that kind of we looked at each well and said, okay, here's the variability, seasonal variability, here's the trend, and where's the floor we don't want to go below.
Okay.
And if you could go back to that, that's previous slide. What is the dotted line on the top? Is that our MO?
No, the MO is the green star.
Okay.
Because that's your MO is your sustainability objective.
That's the final data point on the
form. And you're green 2042.
That's 2042.
Green star. Green star 2042.
So that's what we're trying to achieve is getting back to the MO, right? By definition.
Yep.
And is that, because we put it in our GSP, is that a hard spot that we need to make or fail?
Well, it defines sustainability.
It defines sustainability.
Okay.
The green star is saying we are sustainable.
You're
different language in
there.
Okay.
Yeah, that's as good.
So this is a nested mobile completion. Well, you can tell that because it has the diagram of all of the elevations and their monitoring points above. So these look a little bit different in the
diagrams. Well, that we want to have.
This is the idea.
Yeah.
Right. And so ultimately, what we're looking at here is you can see how many dots there are, and that's because it's relative to the continuous model. So we're going to see the whole cycles of everything happening. And you can see here that our interim milestones start below the MT. And the reason why that is, subjectively, right, is that we were below the MT when we were at or below the MT when we made these. Right? This is when we made these back then. You can see that little dot down there that's right just below the MT. Yeah. We're saying, hey, we get time to go like this before we fix it, right? Because it's going to take us a hot minute. And Sigma allows for that.
Yeah.
Right? It's built into the plan that says, hey, look, we understand that you can't fix it in a day. That's not how this works. You get time. You can set milestones that have a little paper down, but still ultimately must show that you get back there. Right? And so, success. But ultimately, it also says you cannot cause undesirable results. And so one thing that we are doing when we're working on these programs, for example, say an undesirable result would be making people's wells go dry, right? You are falling groundwater levels and you are harming somebody else by falling groundwater levels. You must fix that. And that is
I would restate that because that's sort of like assigning blame.
GSA must fix that.
That those things are happening for a reason and the GSA must address them.
Fair enough. Yeah.
Not you.
Not a person.
Somebody.
The GSA is. I don't mean you as in.
No, I
mean people. The rule says the GSA. Right? GSA must
have. I would just say a thing is happening and it must be.
Yeah. I'm not saying you as a person. Don't worry.
There's no reason why they're making
some of those decisions. Yeah. Yep. And so ultimately, right, this is a pretty good looking hydrocraft right now.
Yeah.
Right? We can say, hey, you know, we're way above. And this one's very healthy. And I don't think we didn't get any comments on this one. And it's all good.
And however it happened.
So yeah, there's no required specific action.
Yeah, it just
I think there is a little misnomer there. There is no required specific action, only that you meet it over the time frames, explain why you don't cause undesirable results.
So just out of curiosity, what completion level is that hydrograph representing?
Just so we know.
Dead
or deep?
Depth of groundwater is
850 feet.
Yeah, what kind of rate?
Depth I can't read that fine.
It looks like 850.
Yeah.
So that's the deep aquifer.
So 50 foot of groundwater is the green star.
Hold on just a second. Let me look.
Oh, so that's the shallow. Okay.
Yeah.
Do we maintain hydrographs on the
that's the shallow.
Other completions as well?
We do in some places. It depends on the places where we are. Displayed here. We actually do have access to that data and we can go find it and grab it, but for the purposes of showing you stuff right now, this is easier to do. But yes, the data on those deeper completions does exist. And yes, some of them we use as representative, but not all of them.
So just want to pause here and do a time check. So just, I think this is really, really important to get a clear understanding of what is absolutely required under Sigma, what were decisions by GSA to make sure that we're making the progress to be compliant with Sigma, and our marching orders now are put on the board is to continue, resolve, and come up with a new proposal presentation update by April. And to meet all the various deadlines, this group and things like that have to come up with something by the Thursday before the groundwork commission meeting. We need the various. Oh, the windows
shut.
But isn't
it
so big?
You are doing all sorts of interesting
things. All right. My question toward that timeline is if this group can do something earlier and give the commission a little more time to chew on it, I think that's
fine. I think it would be great.
We just got an agenda for this meeting yesterday. Mm-hmm. Right? We can't keep running down to the wire with our deadlines. We need to build in.
I think that's a major goal from this conversation at the end of this meeting is trying to figure out what are the key topics and issues for this group to address within the time frame. So that way you can kind of be able to report back to the Grand Warrior Commission soon, being like, hey, here are the top issues that we're going to be working on. Give us your feedback. So exactly to be able to keep the commission in the loop as you go. So it's not the end. All right. I want to push us to going over the proposals. I know like the first district proposal folks have seen for a while. So actually, should we, Justin, can we do a quick review of the district proposal? But I want to make sure that we have plenty of time for Adam to go over the Farm Bureau's proposal.
Absolutely. 30,000 foot view, right? But a straw proposal as proposed in these final meetings, the last rendition of our straw proposal, is a three-step program. The first one is creating some incentivized voluntary measures that we raise fees and incentivize others to do actions. Lastly, these actions are things like efficiency, right? Increasing efficiency, using surface water in lieu of groundwater. We are piloting these projects right now with grant funding so that we have an understanding of how successful they can be and have outcomes, but also so that we can understand how much they cost set fees to them. Right? So that's the first step. Second step is a triggered methodology by which you increase costs to do management actions and projects. Right, so it's a method to get funds to do the actions required to add more water to the ground or use less. Okay,
so it's the funds derived from penalties.
Funds derived from fees. Yes. Yeah, and by the way,
but we have just make sure we're talking about fees. Baseline fees that are going to be charged to operate the program and help with voluntary program. That was sort of phase one.
No. So fees, that is not phase one.
Oh.
Fees for baseline program are the required minimums for everything that needs to be done for SIGMA. This is annual reports, five-year updates, the monitoring requirements, which are a requirement of SIGMA. These are baseline bids. No projects and management.
So no education to help people be better.
That's a different fee mechanism.
Right? Different fees.
Yes. Okay. And by the way, I just want to make it clear, fees are currently being reviewed and being worked on by a legal and fee setting team as directed by the board of directors, which already have it. So fees is a different bag right now.
Okay.
Make
sure there's
but there's two different types of fees.
There's fees for being a groundwater pumper. Is that a good way of saying it? A groundwater user?
Right now, there are several methodologies that are being reviewed for fees. One of which is volumetric, meaning that as a groundwater user, you get charged. One of those is a combination of volumetric and a baseline fee that could be per parcel or per acre, right? And that's that sort of separation between fee types. The fee types, no matter what, the second tier of fee types, which is for projects and management actions, these ideas of things like well mitigation, groundwater recharge, those actions are all directed by the board right now to be volumetric. The baseline fee is the potential mix of a per parcel per acre with volumetric. So like assigning a volume to a specific use and creating that to give how much you pay within that range.
And so the how the fees are charged will determine how the fees are used to some degree. That's probably oversimplifying it, but you're saying there's a base fee that's going to run the program?
Yeah, so you have.
Then there's another volume.
We're going to create two bank accounts.
actions, right?
Yeah. The first bank account is the administrative actions under required by this program.
Yeah, I think the we missed is to keep the
gotta have updates, gotta have staff to base unpaid consultant to manipulate the data to get it into the annual reports. No, I think this will work. I think we can get there. And then the second bit is projects and management actions specific to resolving issues.
Got it.
Right. Getting to these goals, right?
But we're still
preventing MP exceeds all of this.
And we haven't arrived at fees derived from bad actors or whatever it might be.
That thing that we're talking about.
That's further. That's a different fee in, in probably use
so,
mitigation.
That let me just sort of do this pictographically, right? If this is your goal, right? The first plan sets a fee here because you're this far away from your goal.
Mm-hmm.
A fee here because you're this far away from your goal. And a fee here because you're this far away from your goal,
mm-hmm.
right? That number is undetermined. So what that fee is doesn't exist right now.
Yeah, okay.
So it's just saying you would charge a fee.
But it's described that you would charge a fee in the straw proposal.
That's right.
Okay.
And that's what we're saying. The third piece of that puzzle is Sigma itself says you must set a sustainable yield, right? Which we all talked about and should be a part of any plan. And it also says that the authority is given to a GSA to charge a fine for pumping beyond that sustainable yield.
Which you would call a demand management fee.
It could be.
Yeah.
Or it could just be an ordinance and a fine. But yes, it is the intent of it is to manage demand. Right? That's what the intent of that is. And that says if you, in the straw proposal, says, let's just say this red line is that threshold we're talking about the floor. If you get down here and you stay down here for a couple of years, we are going to institute this fee, this fine, this fine for pumping over sustainable yield.
Gotcha.
So that's the three steps in the straw proposal.
And that fine will be only probably narrowly applied to the folks that are in the area that is out of compliance.
It's down here.
Yeah.
That's right.
So and it's intended. There's the everybody.
Yeah.
And then there's the guys that the people that are using fee.
Yeah.
And then there's fines associated with not meeting thresholds.
Essentially.
So,
yeah.
And everybody fee runs the program.
Yep.
The lights on.
We call that administrative. Right?
The volumetric fee, theoretically,
is
does project things, helps do voluntary actions, education, maybe mitigation, and then the fine fee really does probably mitigation and
that's right.
And
ultimately
help you get better.
And ultimately forces action because of its cost.
It's meant to be punitive.
It's meant right. to it's specifically punitive.
Yeah. It's meant to change behavior.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Question along that line though.
Just like a speeding ticket.
So that's within a management zone or an area.
Yeah.
Specific.
Yeah.
But every pumper, if I understand it right, every pumper in that management area is not subject to the fine, if you want to call it the third tier fine.
Yeah.
It's only those that are exceeding the threshold.
I mean, the
so you can
the sustainable
be, yeah, you can be in that hole, but if you've reduced, personally, if I cut back and I can demonstrate that then I'm not going to be subject to that fine.
Correct.
Yeah. My neighbor,
you're doing something not, different. Yeah,
you
were allocated X, and then because we're not in compliance, we reduced X. You're using more than X, so
yeah.
You're going to get fined.
And now every bit you're using more than X.
But overuse, for example, by a neighbor or somebody else in the management zone, if they continue to pump and pay, the pump could lower the sustainable yield even more.
Can.
For you.
That's right.
And so that's a downside of
so all.
And you can be penalized for those two, Steve. It depends on what the allocation is.
Well, yeah, you'll be penalized by a reduction. But if you continue to abide by the reduction amount, you're not going to be penalized by the third tier penalty.
That's right.
But you will be penalized because you'll be able to pump less of what you need.
That's
So that's a downside of what we're looking at. It is unfortunate, but it is true.
So I think we all that.
Is it fair to say that both proposals share, in theory, those kind of fee, that fee structure?
I think data similarities in there. Yeah, I don't. We can talk a little bit about that when Adam sort of goes through it.
Yeah,
and then we can have those discussions where you know what looks good and what doesn't, and I think we can sort of talk about that.
I think there is general agreement on that we're going to have to pay for the program.
Mm-hmm.
There's general agreement on we should be paying something in addition to that to make sure we're
at least get some of the
volunteers staying good or mitigating. And educating and so on. So there's general agreement on that. There's less agreement on the fine component of it.
So okay, I guess
one, I'll just say how you determine when you get fined and two, who gets fined and what the fines are.
I'm not even sure that exists in the other proposal that way. So that's just about saying, all it says is, and by the way, I just read this. I did not create it. This is just my interpretation of what I'm reading, and someone else can tell me. What it is saying is we agree to set that threshold.
Yeah.
Right? That's what it's saying.
Yeah. It is available.
That threshold.
Yes. That's exactly the thing. That's a very important distinction.
Yeah.
We want
the both programs do say that. Right? Hey, we need to give time to get the data right and get everything together. And that's that period of time that we're talking about, that 31, 32.
Is that
so they agree on that?
You know, is that true?
I don't know that I'd agree with that entirely. And we can get into the weeds later. Let's just. I have problems with both programs, and I don't want to talk about them at some point.
That's probably obvious.
I just want to make sure I understand what you said. Is it true? What I understood you said is that I'll call it a county proposal or a straw proposal or whatever. It does not define the fines.
It does not. It says 0 to 500. So there's no specific definition of what it is.
Does it define when fines will be applied?
It does.
Okay.
Yeah. And that's empty exceeds. Yeah.
So that the county proposal defines how the fines will be determined, when will we be determined that fines are necessary, and then it also determines when fines will be applied, but doesn't define what the fine will be.
Only a cap.
Yeah. Okay. Only a maximum fine.
And then
the strongest per it. The version right now, it says per acre. I think you meant per acre foot. Per acre foot.
The farm growth proposal takes a step back from that and says, there will be fines, but we're not going to yet determine when those fines will be applied or what the fines will be. So is that right? It would take one step back.
That's right. Yeah. And I will say, let's put just to get through his.
Yeah.
And then we'll go over to the other one and then we can talk about that. So, and that's basically it for me. Okay. So this proposal.
You had 3 points. I think you only listed two. So the two I captured was voluntary measures. Number one. Number two is triggered methodology to increase groundwater costs based on groundwater levels.
Yep.
And there's a third
one. There's the back.
The five.
So upon exceeding MT, right, within any of these areas that are created, right, it triggers a methodology by which a sustainable yield is calculated. That sustainable yield, if it is exceeded, has a fine associated with it that is undetermined but with a cap. That says anything over that calculated yield is how much you would pay per acre foot.
Yep.
That line.
Yep, gotcha.
Yeah. So that's the entirety of that soft proposal from the 30,000 foot level. That's what it's intended to do.
Right.
And now, do you want to do Farm Bureau?
I think if you can pull up the Appendix A portion of the Farm Bureau on the screen, but I think it's probably helpful to start with. A little background on how we got here. So I've been following your guys' meetings, listening in, chatting with Brendan and Hal, mainly amongst others. But I hadn't really built into it until probably August, September, as the deadline started to become closer and closer. And what precipitated this for me really was my mother's family farms down in Face East Stockton, Crow's Landing. And I was having a chat with my uncle who runs that stuff down there. And he was talking to kind of, I never dealt with Mendota, GSA. And he was, and they're probably 3 years ahead of us. You know, the plan's been approved. It's starting to be implemented. And we were talking through sort of how they were doing things. And I was struck by, it seemed pretty sensible. It was reasonably easy to understand, you know, talking about it, leaning on a tailgate. And I went back, and I was kind of started having that conversation. I went back, I drilled into a little bit the direction that we were taking, and read up on that. And then honestly, I went down a wormhole of looking at a lot of different demand and planning of small different sub basins and checking things out. I was immediately struck by a couple key points that I think are germane here. One, the brevity of the plans that were submitted and accepted was interesting, primarily interesting in its contrast to what we were developing. These plans were very light on detail, very light on specific methodologies.
Framework.
Yeah, they were framework. Yeah, I think framework's the right word to use. And I was struck by that, and what they all really do is provide a deadline and provide a basic framework for how that deadline is going to be achieved, with the promise and understanding that the details of that will be worked out in due course to achieve that goal. So that was probably my first big sort of wake up point. My second observation was most of the GSAs that had plans approved, and this is primarily South Valley, so call spade a spade, where GSA's working with significant overdrafts, I mean, measuring hundreds of thousands of acre feet. But most of the plans that had been approved, there was definitely nuance, but the major framework pieces were largely the same. You know, there were concepts and components that were almost universally shared amongst the GSAs in the Valley. And I noticed that when you went out to the, you know, San Diego or Carl Bad or whatever, you started to see some sort of wackadoodle stuff. But when you looked at the Valley, what the big acreage and the big pumping was, they were all very similar. So that struck me as well. So it was clear that those GSAs had decided not to reinvent the wheel and to kind of stick with methodology that was quote unquote tried and true in terms of approval by the DWR. And I think that was definitely in contrast with some of what was being discussed here. I will say, I think, and Justin, I've had a number of conversations on this, when you really get down to it, these two plans are very similar. They probably share more components than they differ. I think that'll come out as we chew through. I think the biggest difference is I'll say me for now. I had not really understood the homework assignment. You know, I think I was operating the impression before this sort of lit review, I was operating under the assumption that a plan meant a specific, detailed 500-page plan. And I think that was not correct. So taking sort of all that leanings, just put together this outline. So the bit that I wrote was Appendix A. And that was literally just a distillation of a large number of other GSA-approved plans put together in a, I'll use the word outline, Powell said framework, put together in a framework level, detail level, so very, very high level, conceptual. I think I'll let probably about the time you and I started talking about it in a little bit more detail. And I don't know what I'm talking. I mean, let's be honest here. I'm a farmer and did some research online. But I thought it was interesting enough at that point that it was worth reaching out to a professional in this, which is when we engaged Joe Hughes. And I was, he's a water attorney in Bakersfield. And so he's represented both GSAs as well as growers. Has got a number of plans approved, and
Water districts also.
Yeah, a lot of water districts, a lot of growers. But I think he was particularly of interest because he'd been there and done that and actually been challenged by the DWR and successfully defended it. So I think, you know, his experience, knowledge is 5 years ahead of ours, frankly. And it was clear once we started talking to him that we had not, in fact, understood the problem. Because he did confirm my suspicions that we were getting too far, too much detail too early in the process. And by doing so, we were actually exposing ourselves. His exact analogy was, you know, DWR, think of it as a herd of buffalo. You know, the buffalo that gets way ahead of the herd gets the arrow. The guy that's trying to invent something new and do something different, you know, they don't like that. Conversely, the guy at the buffalo that's way at the pack and not getting done, you know, he's going to get the arrow too. But if you're kind of right there in the middle of the pack, doing what everybody else is doing, they like that. That was really the advice received from him. So sending this to Appendix A, and again, this is at our own. And you'll notice it is kind of in sort of more direct farmer language. And the request was for him to look at it and say, you know, is this something that would suffice for your demand management plan? And if not, you know, let's make some edits and put it in a format that would be acceptable to DWR. And what he came back with was the first portion of the document that is titled Framework for Antelope, Red Bluff, and Lost Mesa Subbasins. So really the way to read this is the first 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, really until you get to the appendix. That's kind of all lawyer talk, right? So that's put into DWR language, therefore, as such, blah, 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 blah. But the main point that I think, the main point that's made in the attorney portion of the document is the plan needs to define the goal and the deadline. And then there's a very specific process required by SGMA legislation for input along the way for each of the steps, right? And I misunderstood that. You know, I was under the impression that input meant let's get all the input, finalize the plan just file, you know, and that was wrong. And what Joe was very clear about is that the GSAs who had been sued and had been successfully sued were largely sued on the basis that as the details were developed for each component, they had not incorporated health comments at that time. Does that make sense? I mean, it seems like a small distinction that I think is substantial. So really what the plan is, in taking all that on board, really what the plan, our assignment is a somewhat vague framework with a promise that when the time comes, we're going to do the pick and shovel work, get the public input to finalize the details. Does that make sense?
When you have the facts and the scientific backing
to support.
To support.
Yeah. It was so the phrase he liked to use, he being Joe Hughes, was the plan is a process, right? So don't think about this like a book report that you write, you turn in, you hope you get a B.
Right.
The plan is a process that, you know, you're saying here's what we're going to do, here's when we're going to do it, and then when the time comes, we're going to finalize it. And I think, frankly, that had been universally misunderstood by all of us. And I don't think that's anybody's fault. I've told you this privately, and I've said it publicly. I think Justin, unfortunately, was set up to fail. You know, with one man, part-time, without, you know, legal support like this is a big lift. And it was also clear that most of these other GSAs, the attorneys drafted the plan. And it, for these attorneys, this is pretty much plug-and-play template stuff. And the plan is done with the guidance of the attorney. And what was nice about it is, you know, even just writing this, it's pretty easy to get off in the weeds with this idea. We've all got a bunch of good ideas, right? Different ideas, whatever. And I noticed talking to Joe that I'd have some idea and he'd say, nah, pull back. That was tried here and it didn't work. So let's just not even go down that rabbit hole. You know, it was really a, it was like the bumpers that's bowling alley for the kids, right? He keeps you from getting in the gutter because he'd done it so many times before. And I think that's something we were missing in this process, right? We all have a lot of ideas and opinions, but we never really had somebody to say, hey, you're getting in the gutter. Let's keep it between the line. Did that make sense? So this came together really fast, right? And I knew there wasn't a lot of sense for this being a plan written by a single grower. So that's at that point probably the Farm Bureau. Farm Bureau, I think, did a lot of heavy lifting to try to digest as quickly, which they did. But we sprung it on everybody last minute, right? You know, so I think my...
Not by design.
No, not much time.
Yeah. Well, but it was, I mean, we had a matter of hours.
Oh, yeah.
So I heard about it the day before.
Hours, right? Which is total bullshit.
And I
barely did.
Farm Bureau board didn't really do it.
We didn't have it. We were asked to push forward the plan on behalf.
Exactly.
And I would agree. I think just a brief comment. This is kind of what we've been asking for, is not to reinvent the wheel, but to copy success. And so I think that I like what you guys have done.
Yeah.
There's some things I want to talk about.
Well, I think that's right, you know.
Details, but I think in general, it's a step ahead.
Well, and he doesn't even have time to talk about this. I'm actually quite happy with it, right? So the reality is it was not realistic to adopt a plan that everybody saw the hours before, right? And at the same time, I think we've been getting a little off the reservation with the straw proposal. So being granted a reprieve here to do a bit better work, I think is honestly probably the ideal outcome. I don't think we could have landed
better. It's better than accepting one or the other.
Yeah, and I'll reiterate, I think there are more similarities in these plans than there are differences. I think probably the biggest difference is the brevity as opposed to the level of detail. That being said, if I was tackling this, I was tackling this. I think this gives us a good framework to start a conversation. And I wouldn't worry too much about the first 7 pages again, because that's the blah, blah. Really it's Appendix A that's the bit that needs a discussion. And it's pretty easy to break that up. It's an outline, right? There are several points. You can break it up by points 1 through 4 and have a healthy debate about it. And I think it would be helpful, whomever the attorney is, to have the attorney involved to just help keep the conversation from getting in the gutter, right?
Yeah, when the point's brought up, right? The same thing, like what you were
just like, look,
that's a great idea. I can work on that, or here, that idea is good for down the road, but here's why you're not at the phase where you can work on that.
Yeah.
If we don't have that guidance, I think we're going to beat our heads on all the stuff we did the first time. This is a legal document.
Yeah.
Needs everybody's input, and you need somebody that's receptive to it, can answer your questions and satisfy you. Not all of us sitting in here is non-attorneys trying to figure out what to get.
So would you imagine, having talked to this, talked to the attorney on this, do you think that the proposal would stand alone without Appendix A attached or not? I see points in Appendix A that I think need a little bit more fleshing out and a little bit more hashing out, but would the proposal itself just put out the appendix?
I don't know the answer. That's a good question. I don't know about it.
Wouldn't say that there are parts of the appendix that might be adopted with the proposal, but one of the reasons, backing up a little bit, follow on to Adam's explanation of how we got to where we are, one of the reasons we got to where we are is because some of us I'll just speak for myself. I thought we were adding more detail than was necessary to approve, to put before the flood control board and the supervisors to approve a complete demand management plan with lots and lots of details that the demand management working group is not comfortable with.
Well, yeah,
and that's why when we got this point, like, they're going to vote on something that none of us or many of us don't really like. And so we better present an alternative that says that it could be acceptable.
Right.
And the alternative that could be acceptable was the first whatever 7 pages, and then we'll also do these things in the appendix.
Yeah, I think that's
so I think it's important to my original comments, like, let's not say we're going to do things that it's not necessary to promise, right? If there's not a mandate to promise something, let's not promise it. Let's develop a framework of how we're going to get there, which says we're working on it, but let's not promise to do a bunch of things that, one, we're not sure are going to be legal or upheld in a legal spotlight, or two, we don't really want to do, or three, aren't going to be useful or helpful. I mean,
I think I would take even a step farther in that, because I was really trying to wrap my head around that exact question. And the attorney's advice was extremely strong. He said, look, not only are you doing too much work, but you are actually increasing your exposure.
Yes.
By becoming too specific too soon.
Yes.
So there's no extra credit here. There's no extra credit for doing more work. In fact,
there's not.
There's extra liability for doing more work.
That's all out of time perspective. And for example, how do we determine minimum thresholds, and then how do you apply them, right?
That's right.
And so something like we kept bumping up against this decent polycon concept, like, we don't like that. Well, that's all we have. That's what we're going to use. But it doesn't work. That's all we're going to use. That's what we have. It's the best thing we have. That's what we're going to adopt. And we said, wait a minute. And the wells, the monitoring wells, they're no good. Well, that's the only wells we have right now. So those are the data points we're going to use. And so we were promising, I'm not assigning any blame, I'm just saying this was what was frustrating to me in the process. Like, if we're going to do public input and we're the public input, then let's at least use that input appropriately.
Yeah,
and some of it was say what I was saying. Wow, is this stuff actually required at this moment in time? No, but that's what we're going to say. We're going to do it this way because we need to put that forward. Because if we don't put it forward, we're going to kick it back to us. The board or whoever, like whoever that was, where you're not, it's not going to be approved.
Well, I don't think that was true.
And so again, this is. The reason why the alternative was proposed was to create a framework which says this is the general concept, and then and this is my understanding that the appendix is these are the finer points inside of that general framework that we're going to apply. Some of them we can put into the demand management plan today. Some of them we're going to hold back and say we're not ready to put them in the plan yet.
No. I mean, what's the famous Einstein quote? I had 24 hours to save the world. I'd use 23 hours to define the problem. Now the chemical solution.
That's what I'm trying to
do. And I think you look back at it, we didn't spend the 23 hours to define the problem. Right? So we were solving for the wrong X.
I'm going to step in here just because of time. So what I'm hearing from this group is that we can use the shop proposal. This shop proposal, the farm bureau is for Adam Melvin. How do you want to?
Yeah. Let's call it the alternative.
Honestly, farm bureau didn't have much to do.
Well, it's a really, really helpful framework, and it's a place to start building from and have treat that maybe initial draft proposal as like the detailed options, and whether or not you want to incorporate some of those details as a option leaving that aside, but the purpose of the conversation started with this outline. And I think one of my questions is, are there key differences between this alternative proposal and the initial one that you all call out to the group? I want to start gearing us towards what Steve was talking about.
Before you go there, can I present a concept that might make sense and just for your consideration? So that's what we need to get, right? The discussion of those. I would propose that I spoke with Andy Teasdale, and he has the ability to fund the attorney that's done that framework that was up for discussion. So hasn't been hashed out yet as far as the time frame, how much money it's going to cost, et cetera. But my thought would be that we can beat all these around. I mean, we need to get everybody to get their input. That's what part of the big crux why we're here is they need more input. But I would think it would be, I mean, if we engage the individual and set up a time frame where these discussions could happen, and if we listen to by somebody could say, give them advice and pointers, and somebody made the comment on, you know, an avenue to the guardrails, like, hey, here's why, you know, that's good, keep that in the background, but you can't do that, et cetera. If we do it in a structured way, there's a leaked document with an attorney that's written lots of these. My guess is we can get this done, and it's not that big of a problem. I'm not against, don't take my comment right now, as I'm against doing what you want to do. But I see that as we're going to do that, we're going to do it again and do it again. We're going to be sitting here, we did that for 15 months and didn't get it.
So we can define the problem and define the process. It is important to understand what we need to turn in 4 months and how granular it needs to be.
Wait, say that again.
We have a new date of April 8th, right? And we're going to turn something in. We're going to turn in our homework. We're going to turn in the plan. What is required to be in that? At what level of detail?
Well, that's where you're. There's 2 points there.
It's
not a comment. My mind is at 2 things. You've got a board that's got to approve it. So, you know, at whatever level they want. The other idea would be an attorney that's been there, done that, and has been challenged on them and has got these pushed through, his opinion of what EWR's expectation of what we need to do. So I think, does that answer your question? There's 2 components there.
It's going to look a lot like what's right here. Because I asked him, I said, would this pass? He said, you can submit it tomorrow and it'll pass.
I guess it's also that the commission and the board would also be very open to what you all suggest, because if what you all suggest is more of the process, like, look, we need to take more time to come up with initial proposal, incorporate a more broader public engagement input piece to this, bring in the attorneys to be, and so we expect that we'll get this far by April, but we will have hashed out X, Y, and Z. And so if that's what this group proposes, we could. You made a very strong case in December, like, look, we've done all this, we need more time. And so if this group comes up with those kinds of recommendations, you demonstrate that you've really, really thought about it and you have a game plan to resolve these remaining issues.
Well, I mean, if you look at, so if you focus, the appendix is the bit that needs the most work. That's where the actual meat is.
Yeah.
So you've got points 1 through 9 points to talk about. That's not a lot. And they're breaking down and do three a meeting.
Have the attorney engage the attorney, have the round table with him.
And have them sit up.
You're on Zoom,
right? You can say, well, what about this? And you can say, you don't need to do that. Or, yep, that's what we need to do.
Yeah,
and that's what he's saying. In that, how detailed does it need to be? Because if we don't go back to what was making me uncomfortable, is setting policy with bad data is not a good idea.
No, I think this appendix is actually.
If you don't have good data, don't back yourselves into a corner with a policy based off of bad data.
Yep. I think that's spot on.
So if there are things in this appendix, and I don't know well enough to speak to it, that are saying we're going to promise to do things based off of bad data, don't promise to do them.
Yep.
isn't to me, my point, isn't that the attorney's the one that needs to be
sure
be part of that dialogue.
We could probably do a quicker overview without the attorney, just amongst ourselves.
To make
say, okay, these are things I can live with, and here's a couple of things that I cannot.
Yeah,
and here are my concerns.
I think that'd be the right way. I'm not proposing that we go no further without turning the room. All I'm saying is to we identify the problem, right? That, and we've got to have, you know, we need to come up with a good framework or draft by April. Mm-hmm. How do we get there?
Right.
To get this group, however format you want to do it, comes up with the problems that you want to see addressed and as promptly as possible, and you get an expert in the room that can
help direct getting that done.
I don't think it's that heavy of a lift, because the questions that I'd asked were really made good sense.
Well, I think there's a couple of points I'd like to build on that. I agree with everything's being said. I think there's two. Well, I want to be clear and point out you asked a question where the proposal differed, so I do want to address that. But I think there's another important point here, and this is something that the attorney mentioned, I think, in partially in yes, but the way I see this, DWR is the body, the governing body of Sigma, right? Tehama County decided to insert the Board of Supervisors between DWR and ourselves, right? That's a bit of a unique structure. But
I don't know whether I agree. Is it?
Yeah, I know.
I don't know how whether.
Most of the GSAs are independent from the county. So they're not routed to the county. Yeah. My point is, let's make sure we're not serving the wrong master. Right, so the master here at Tina Day that really includes the homework assignment from now for the next 100 years is DWR. So let's not make a stupid plan to appease a board of supervisors that, let's face it, for 50 grand we could have thrown out on, you know what, get new ones elected. So I don't want to make a plan just to appease this body that, who cares, right?
So just let's see that it's going to just be wide open for litigation.
Well,
I don't know what's going on, but
you know, I think DWR isn't the regulating authority. It's the State Water Resources.
Will ultimately be the regulating authority.
And also, well, they are. DWR is just a...
Yeah. All of the GSAs are a public agency in both areas. But to be perfectly honest with you, I don't need to care about that. I mean, those aren't really necessarily that big of a deal. The reality is that we, as a group, right, have to get to a point where we get this group to say, hey, let's put that forward to a commission. The commission to say, hey, let's put that forward to a board. And the board to say, okay, your guys' input seems valid. We vote yes. Right? It's not. It actually, on the skin of it, right, it isn't that complicated. But when you step back from it, there are definitely some voices in there that say, hey, we want this, we want to see this, we want to see this, we want to see this. And we do have to be mindful about that when we discuss it.
Yeah.
That's the only input I will give.
But the supervisor, that's a water attorney.
So the rephrase you're saying, we don't want to create policy based off of politics.
Yes. Let's not create policy based on current politics.
Right.
Let's create for a very
the moment. Policy that abides by the statute, which is cinema.
Right. Well, I'll pause.
I do agree with that.
Okay. Okay. I will pause. Let's go to Bill, and then I would like, we could do maybe like a 5-minute quick overview of the kind of 9 points in the appendix, the orient folks, and then I kind of want your conversation to what Steve has suggested that there are, and I think also Brandon, you did, there are some components of this that you had questions and things like that. So I wanted to like start drilling down into the key issues within these 9 points that this group wants to do.
We need to do that fast. So, and what I'll do is I'll...
Okay. Go first.
Just want to make one comment. Early on, one of my main goals in this thing was to come up with a plan that we can sell to our constituents. Justin, I'm on trying to downgrade what you came up with. Well, we had in our last meeting, couldn't even sell it to this group. So how are we going to take it off?
It's complicated. And by the way, I'm not arguing that it's complicated. I actually agree. There is a lot of complicated input in here, right? We're all saying, hey, you want to fix it like this, we like this. And it's just an attempt to put all those things into a
Yeah.
Problem is we couldn't agree on going forward with that.
Yeah.
And if we keep in mind that whatever we do, keep our constituents in mind, the board has to go along with it.
Yeah, that's right. Spot on. When they pay the tax.
And It has to be something simple enough that we can sell.
And it will fail if people don't buy into it.
If they understand it, it's a key component of that, right?
I know.
They're going to pay
it. May not agree with it, but at least when you read, you know what it says.
It's got to be simple enough and make sense to the average person out there.
Yeah.
For them to buy into it, because if they don't buy into it, you're going to have total chaos. It's going to be totally unenforceable.
Yeah.
And it's going to fail.
So a reputable water attorney that in the South Bay told me, he says, you know, if an eighth grader can't really at least understand conceptually what it is, he says, you are never going to be successful. He says, trust me, because we've been through this down there. That doesn't mean that it's not complex. They may not understand the fine details of it, but they got to be able to read the document and understand what's even conveyed.
The failure,
just supporting your point.
The failure can be defined as the users not adopting what's outlined in the policy, or it could be that there's litigation.
All right, let's go to Adam and
one saying.
Okay. Yeah. Adam, can you go quickly over the?
Yeah, I'll just run through it real quick. So the so start with looking at the.
We're on Appendix A.
Appendix A. Okay. So first thing is management zones. So as I looked around the other GSAs, you know, the decent polygon was not a concept I saw in other places. They were simply defined as management zones. And the plan did not speak to the details of how those management zones were determined. I think this is actually very much in common with the straw proposal, because we were migrating from decent polygons towards grouping the decent polygons to create management zones anyway. So I think the two plans are fairly similar.
It's just our own mind about how you agree.
Yep. So that there's not a lot of difference there. A action item there would be to finalize the management zones, right? So that was, that's a future action item. Point three, I think, is probably the area where the two proposals differ the most. Not so much differ, it's just a slight methodology. So the sustainable yield determination. What I saw as I looked across the other plans is most of them looked at a sustainable yield where they weren't use the best available data, which was refreshed annually, to look at the sustainable yield for that management zone. So, Brendan, in your management zone, you can sustainably pump 3 acre feet per irrigated acre. And Michael, in your zone, you can only plant one, you can pump 1.5, right? And that's just is what it is. And that sets the threshold for which fees are applied. So that's a very critical number, that sustainable yield. What was very important, I noticed in the other plans, is there was specific language saying that those sustainable yield were continually addressed and updated as better data was developed. More monitoring, well, more data. It's whether it's 5 years, 3 years, I don't know, 50 years. But, you know, so it is a bit of a moving target, but it's a moving target that is refined as data is improved. I personally like that because it was very simple, right?
How is that different?
It's the same. It's the same. It's just a different way of getting there, right? And I think it's really how, this is like you and I were talking about, is where I think there's more similarities and differences, where the staff plan had various calculations looking at where we are in the CMOs and the MTs. Basically, what it was doing was calculating sustainable yield. It was just a little bit
more. All of what happens.
Yep. So I think that the end of the day, it's going to be all about where the groundwater levels are, right? It's how you're communicating it to the users in a more simplistic fashion, what it amounts to. Steve, you've got 3 acre feet. If you need more than that, maybe you're going to have to find it somewhere else, right? That's very easy to get across, you know, rather than saying, oh, the percentage differential between the x-axis and the y-axis, that was difficult, right? I mean, look, the sense I got, I didn't ask this question correctly, and I should have. But the sense I got is the plan that's facing the public and the user is simple, to your point, easy to understand. The more complex calculations are still happening. They're just happening in the background with the staff and the consultant, right? But you're conveying it in a way that sustainable yield, people can plan on that. You know, if you know you've got a sustainable yield of 3 acre feet, okay, I'm not going to redevelop that 100 acres. But if my sustainable yield is only at 1.5 acre feet, we make decisions based on that. That sustainable yield then flows to pumping allocation credit system. This was
equated there.
Yep.
So on the breakdown of sustainable yield components, can you elaborate a little bit on the first three? Climate change adjustment is
a where you have to be
I'm on the bottom of the first page of Appendix A.
Item three,
okay. Second bullet point, breakdown of sustainable yield components. Okay. Can you tell me what those are?
Yeah, so these were the components that went into the calculation of, so think of them as the variable going into the equation.
Right. So is native yield is like top
level? Yeah, you know what I mean.
Native yield, right? How much water goes into the system without any other water goes into the system, right? Imported surface water, right? So say recharge, you get it off a canal, you get it from a dam, source, whatever it is, right?
X plus water.
Brought into the system, right? Manage recharge potential. That is saying that you are going to put some sort of a calculation in there that says we could get this water in here.
So the imported surface water, is that then in lieu? Or is that applied for recharge or both?
Both. It's what is brought in,
okay.
Not what could be.
Because those are two different things.
You're talking about what is definitely there naturally, what is brought in, and then what could be.
But what is brought in could be broken into two components, which is used to irrigate and that which is used to recharge.
Those are two different things.
Correct.
Okay. And they technically have two different parts in the calculation.
Sure. And then obviously the managed recharge potential, right? So
we can actually apply.
Yeah, and I think you raise a good point, right? So for the homework assignments, those four subpoints, I don't think need to be in there.
Yeah,
I think the homework assignment says we are going to calculate sustainable yield by management zone, and then it's up to us to determine how we calculate that down the track. But I don't think the DWR wants to know or cares. At this point, how are we going to do that? That makes sense. And then we have a future conversation about how much credit do we give to recharge, da, 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 da. You know, well, basically all this flows into section four. So the easy way to think about this, and I liked this because I could wrap my head around it. It was easy to explain. So again, that's sustainable yield by management zone. So let's say it's 3 acre feet per irrigated acre. That's your base allocation, free credits I put on there, right? And then if you don't use all those credits, you have the ability to either bank those credits or to transfer those. And there's going to be a whole lot of rules and systems and barriers that need to be put up around the transfer system. That's all a problem to solve for another day.
So you're in 4.2 and 4.3.
Yep, I'm in 4.2 and 4.3. What was clear to me, that in the absence of a credit system, you eliminate incentives for improving behavior, right? So if you have a credit system and you know that you can bank those credits and potentially monetize them, if you bank them or monetize them, then you are directly incentivized to save. In the absence of that, the motivation to comply is a bit viscous, right?
There's no quantity. Only to stay within the allotment.
That's right. And most, what I noticed is most of the GSAs, where the big GSAs, definitely an incorporated credit system. And again, we don't need to solve. There's a lot of concerns about credit systems. I think there's a lot of risk in the credit system.
I think there's some language you need to take out.
And I'll just be upfront. This is the section that had raised the most concern for me.
I think that's it, but
I think there's all sorts of avenues that it could go really wrong.
That's right.
And so it needs some bumpers, it needs some rails.
So, so that's
more vague. Maybe more vague for the purposes of
not
getting started, but before implementation.
I'm referring to right now, you don't want it to be going down an avenue, which is the concept.
The one that jumped off the page right away was transferability of credits within the subbase, and because that opens up a whole can of worms from Gerber to Red Bluff to the far west side, how can we transfer that on paper?
The whole of the
You're saying, hey, we're going to manage this different.
But it was within the sub-basin, as it's called. Yes. Here, at that big
down to those details.
Yeah, so I think, so the answer that I think, I'm speaking for Joe, and I shouldn't, but I think his answer would be, if you guys don't agree on how to solve that right now, take it out. Just keep it vague. And then,
an eight credit system may be developed.
Correct.
Potential components of the credit system could be
XYZ.
Sure.
Without defining any of it.
Yep.
Because I agree. In a way, it's very much like the other way we talked about doing it already, this trading system. The trading system, what you said, hey, we're going to create one.
Yeah, and I think just
we are going to create
one. That's very good.
Yeah.
I believe the current district draw proposal says a May credit system will be developed.
Yes. Period. It's the difference between May and shall.
Yeah.
That's a good legal question.
Yeah,
right. On challenges that have taken place already.
Yeah.
But how would you advise we move forward? That's why I say you need an expert in the room.
Yeah.
Should you use the word mayor shall, basically?
It's a massive
and that is a legal term.
So, yeah.
That's a long question. Honestly. So this is one of those things they need by April 8th. It's going to be difficult to completely define the credit system.
If you just put it in there, but if you put may or shall,
we may make a credit system may be developed.
No, period.
But then the components of the credit system may be
set 100%.
All right. So what I'm hearing from this one is that this could be considered as just like this is an optional idea, and that the question to the attorney is, do we include this as a may or shall create a trading system?
Well, I think you have to have an eight credit system.
Just the one thing that
goes into detail
about this, if you don't mind, I would recommend that you change it from pumping and allocation and credit system to two separate things.
Sure.
Pumping allocation, credit system.
Sure.
You know, we're looking at a pumping allocation system, we're looking at a credit system.
I think I actually agree.
Does that make sense?
They're definitely two different
things. Yeah.
Okay, so think through. So now you've got pumping and allocation, and basically, Steve's got three credits per irrigated acre. He uses them or he banks them, right? And you know, we get into the weeds later.
Mm-hmm. That's another one.
Yep. If you go over those credits, so let's say Steve says, oh, I've got credits for 3 XB, but I really need four, so I need to push a little bit more. I'm going to go ahead and pump 4 acre feet instead of 3. That 1 acre foot he is over his allocation, he will pay a fee for it. And that fee is to be determined. You know, there's a whole heap of data, fee cost study, and public outreach that has to be done before any exact fee number can be assigned. All we're talking about using the methodology is use more credits than you got, paying for the excess. Simple as that.
Yep. I get that in the short term, and I think somewhere later in your appendix you address this by saying that we can't continue to overpump forever. But I'd like to see a little bit more in terms of backstop for that, because that would only allow those that can afford to overpump to the detriment of everyone in that special zone or sub-basin. And I have a problem with that.
And I believe the GSA has the legal authority to limit pumping. So I think you simply add a section there that says
exercise legal authority.
You know, if the fees do not achieve the result, then the GSA exercises its authority to limit pumping.
Good legal advice would exactly address that.
Yep.
Which just one down. That's why you don't need it.
We're going to get there. I'm just saying these are things that are
the pumping or overuse for excess pumping could be incidental, or it could be
Lingering.
And continual, it's like, right. Yeah. And then again, the fees could be adjusted accordingly, or you would have the hammer.
Yeah.
The ultimate hammer that says,
well, if it's taking us away from sustainability, then that in itself is a violation of SIG.
Correct. Legislation provides.
That's right there.
Yeah.
It's why the water code says that specific thing. You said it. You set this sustainable yield, and then there is a methodology for the district to say, we're going to find new people.
Yeah. And the plans are, and both plans are the same now. You know, you're using more than your allotment, the fine is, you know, the fine is going to be adjusted according. We don't need to divide the fee now, but it's the methodology.
Yeah. I think that maybe this is also a legal question. At some point, you'd have to be able to bring a bigger hammer down than just a fine.
Yeah.
That is not going to solve our problem. I just
might. And what is calling the sheriff? And
we don't know. We don't know. This is a question that's going to end up being answered. No, we don't know. I'm just saying that
having dealt with the county for 40 years, they're not going to do that.
They're not going to do that. It has to be something very, very specific and very, very enforceable.
I'm hearing that he would like to have a backstop, and then a specific question for the attorney is if you need something to that backstop that is more than just a fine. So, a question.
Yep, discussion.
And I think staying on the fee vein,
where this, the both proposals are similar. The way this one is currently drafted, you have an admin fee similar to what was proposed in the Shaw proposal. And then you have a second type of fee, which is called here the demand management fee, right? So that is, if you pump more than your allotment, you will pay a fee. And that demand management fee, that pool of money, would be then used to improve the situation in that management zone. Since drafting this, Justin and I have had a number of conversations, the Shaw proposal has really three fee components. I think there is some wisdom in what Justin has with the three fee components, where you have the base admin fee, you have a modest fee for voluntary.
There's stuff we're going to try to work on basically why it's key problems that we have, see if we can continue things moving forward,
yep.
The water. Get people moving in the right direction, see if it works.
Also, it's more proactive. And the third and final being the penalized, the penalty fee. So I actually do like the three fee structure better, which is not reflected in here. So I think that's something I would amend if I was doing it again. Let's see.
I would add, I guess, in there on 5.2, that maybe look at where we want to dedicate those fee revenues.
Yep.
And
discuss that.
Yeah, groundwater recharge projects. I don't know. Isn't there a separate pot somewhere we're tapping for groundwater recharge projects or not?
No.
There's no. So we did radio recharge.
We're not in grant funding anymore.
Okay.
You follow?
Yeah.
We've got to be determined and out.
That's made out. Locally paid for, and we've got to figure out how to do.
Okay. Yeah. And I think, and another question I think for the attorney would be, do we need to get as, so section 5 in this document is also relatively specific. I suspect it's exceptionally specific for the current homework assignment. So I think one of the questions I would ask is brevity better for section 5? Segues to 6, and I think addresses your point to a certain degree. Curtailments and increased fees based on triggers, ramp down to safe yield, basically excess pumping can't be perpetual. So, you know, if we are not achieving the desired results in terms of the MOs and MPs, obviously those fees are going to be elevated. And if the fees, to Steve's point, I think something should be added in here that if the fees are still not achieving the goal, then there needs to be the mandatory pumping production ability, which is inherent in Sigma. So there's no reason not to put it in here. Metering monitoring reporting, I think we just
I would think through how that's going to actually be.
Yeah.
What item are you talking about?
I'm talking the mandatory reduction,
curtailments.
How thinking through all the way.
And how does right?
How do you actually do that?
So
it doesn't necessarily, that doesn't need to be in here. But before we just start throwing out, well, we're going to mandatorily reduce it. How are you going to do that? How are you going to do that?
Go through the exercise of
mental exercise of how you're actually going to
hear all
the way I would ask the question is, hey, does anybody know GSA that's actually done it? How do right? And I think down there in San Diego, some of those inland areas, they'd have to go there. And I guarantee they've learned. So
you're talking very well.
No, more of the kind of
maybe just 4 or 5.
Just 4 or 5. Around Ventura, I think.
And there's a couple of some
yeah. And I mean, you can have a
because
I
have
to do it
for the smaller.
What's happening?
It just comes back to let's not be in the wheel, right? Because I mean, the fact of the matter is there's a lot of parts of the state way worse off than us.
Yeah.
So it's just going to hit the fan way before it.
You learn all the challenges that they have that we might think is common sense and isn't so common. It doesn't work, right?
Yeah.
That's why you just stop being head all along.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, he's much good one, right?
I mean, that's, anything can be contested if they want.
Sure. You know, Section 7, in terms of the metering, I would argue that I'm not even sure this needs to be defined in this plan.
Where are you at? 6-7?
7, yeah.
Can we go back to 6?
Sure.
Any consideration in there, and this is another detail maybe, but not waiting to 2032 to evaluate, can we? Is there a methodology that we can assess our progress along the way, aside from just an annual report? Not that we need to, not that we need to put this in the plan, but just be thinking to ourselves, okay, can we wait till 2032 or 2037 to assess our progress?
I reckon that's an important point. So if sustainable yield is the fundamental metric that we're talking about here.
And this translates measurable to groundwater level.
Yeah. In my mind, I don't know what's realistic, but I think that sustainable yield needs to be almost constantly refined. Right? And in doing so, you're going to be doing exactly what you're saying. But I don't know if that's realistic, Justin. So
yeah, I'll just tell you this one thing. Yeah. It's just my recommendation. But ultimately, I will tell you that if you're changing sustainable yield a lot, you're making it very difficult to do business.
100%.
Right. And so you want to be careful about setting what those time frames are. That's kind of what we talked about here, where you want to kind of have this on maybe like a 5-year cycle or something like that. So again, you can have business plans, right? How much am I going to plan? Where is it going to go?
That's right.
You know, but it's helpful to look at the trend anyway. I mean, that's where those
need to look at
those diagrams are invaluable
for me
to look at that. Are we even getting close, or are we getting further away?
Yeah.
Where did we get to 2032 and 2030?
Well, 2031 was put in place because we all said we needed probably 5 years to see.
Yeah, I think it's pretty common.
I think it's pretty common in most of the other plans.
And that's where
I can't tell you specifically, but there were several things that were, they were trying to get accomplished in the interim.
Yeah.
Those had to do with recharge projects, the in lieu, like what we got, right? To get where you got a little bit more stability on the low hanging fruit.
Yeah,
as a starting point before you get in too much exercise.
Which I think there's the stuff we know we have
to get a handout out of this.
So, and there's one more piece to that also. That's one of our plan update cycles. So if you get it done by the end of 2031, then you can do it incorporated in your plan update cycle.
That's what
it's a good question, but it's common, I think.
And that's, I would say, I know you're saying water year 2032. I would just caution you that you probably want to get it done in order to do that plan update. Because I guarantee you it's going to put one, it's going to create one.
Yeah.
There will be a plan update associated with the outcome of some of this stuff.
100%. Well, I think it also supports your points on the voluntary fees, right? So if we structure this, we have 3 fee buckets, and we're putting pennies into bucket 1 and 2 between now and 2032.
Mm-hmm.
We can be doing things to improve the situation between now and 2032 through the voluntary efforts. And then 2031, year-end results is going to be a bit of a bookmark. Okay, now we're going to assess, and from here forward, we move. I think the one point that was clearly made by Mr. Hughes was go slow to go fast. You know, I get the sense there's a lot of people, we need to kick the can down the road. We need to take action right now. His counsel was, if you take action now and it's not defensible or sensible, you're just going to get sued, and it's going to take you 10 years.
Or if you, it's going to take longer to get what you're trying to get.
If you do this in a deliberate, proven manner, you're actually going to get to where we're achieving results quicker. Right? So it's going slow to go fast. And none of us here have to get reelected. Some folks that are a little more receptive to do something now, but it's just not sensible. That's not the way this process is designed. And he made that very clear, did he not?
I mean, it was, well, they said there's a reason it's going to take till 2042.
Yeah.
Last.
That's not your goal, but that's why Governor Brown made that.
Okay, last 2 points.
Metering, monitoring, reporting. I think this actually needs to be more vague. I think here in Tama County, we're going to have some hurdles with metering. I'm just reading some of the comments from the legal review that
you can monitor. Right, and you can get, there are multiple ways where people can report it. You know, some of that is that.
Yeah,
the state has the same stuff written into it. It says, hey, you can provide a meter reading. You can provide a specific setup that says, hey, you use satellite. You must prove the calculations are accurate or reasonably accurate.
Yep.
So you're gonna have some sort of consultant say it's good.
Have an appeal process.
You know, those things are all fine. But it's definitely There's not, it isn't, even without mandatory meeting, not metering, it is 100% doable to set allocations.
So I like when you, when you mentioned before, you know, we use the satellite calculation as our primary and then have the appeals process that if someone has a meter and wants to contest the satellite,
anybody, if you want to send in your meter, great, we're going to be done.
Yeah.
That's the number.
I'm a little shit over here. I think you and I had this conversation. I didn't realize this until recently, but on one of the sub-bases with my uncle farms in Alameda County, actually, they had to go down the hole of mandatory metering. Mm-hmm. And that meter, to meet their standard, that meter was $60,000.
For the
water works, ticker, yeah. Wheels, you know, paper.
It's all kind of vetted.
Can't be tampered. So you show you guys this. The one thing you need is just the one that is a real standard in the industry. Certain set of rules.
Yeah.
And gets proven to be accurate by an outside agency every 3 years.
So we could do that.
It's not that big. Calibrated every certain amount.
I got three of them on different.
Yeah.
That would be acceptable.
Don't get crazy. Don't get crazy. If it's off by 1%, that's not what the issue is.
And I think a nice point is number 8. You know, I think you have to have the people's hardship provision in here. But if someone contests, there's a process. So all we're saying is we're going to make a process. The timeline, I think we've talked through most of these timeline things here. This is probably an area so good for conversation. I think all of the dates that are listed here, we've discussed already. So, any issues not being redundant. The impression I got, and this could be incorrect, and you should ask the question again. Timelines was one area we needed to be specific. So we needed to tell DWR, we will do this by this date.
That's your promise.
That's your promise, right? So I do think dates we should really think about, because that is a promise that they're going to look for, if that makes sense.
Mm-hmm. For Brandon's
there's going to be a credit system by this time. We'll have this money.
We'll have an allocation system by this time.
This time. Yeah.
Whatever those things are, yeah. What do they need?
Yeah. So I think that's the area where we really got to, we got to draw a line in the sand. Was my understanding. So that's kind of it in a nutshell. Like I said, I think there are more similarities than there are differences. You know, I agree with the idea of let's use this as a document to beat up. Get the attorney on the Skype while you're having the conversation. We're only talking about 10 points here to really, and I think the answer is going to be making it more vague. This document's going to go from 7 pages to 4.
Yeah. Seems to be with attorneys, but some people might have concerns that need to be included.
Yep.
So, yeah, that's what the group's for, right?
Yep.
Go with somebody with guardrails to help make it happen.
Yeah, like I said, I'm happy with where we're at. I think we're better.
I have a question here. So I get the overall perspective of this demand management plan and timing involved here, but this plan, and maybe it's not intended to, is to address unresolved results today. So, as we move into exceeding or achieving undesired results in the Corning sub-basin, will this plan be of any use to address the exceedance of NTs in the basin?
I think the answer is yes, based on sustainable yield. So, Justin's team is going to look at the hydrographs and the various management zones. If you have a hydrograph that's clearly problematic, that sustainable yield for that management zone will reflect that problematic immediately.
So, but we don't do anything until, just put this out there. So, what I'm getting is that we don't really get into sustainable yield. Management until maybe 2031. So in the interim, the next 3 years, when we start getting these undesired results, if that's what happened, I'm not sure that we have a vehicle to deal with that yet.
I think that's probably correct. I think the counterpoint to that would be trying to implement something immediately, I would strongly caution against. Because it's just going to get sued.
I just want to make sure that that's true. That if you implement these minimum thresholds right away, and we're not hitting them,
if they're implemented,
the minimum thresholds, and we're not hitting them, then you would implement the demand management plan right away.
You mean if we are exceeding?
we're exceeding them. If you're not achieving the objectives, then isn't the demand management plan going to be put into work or into play immediately?
That's interesting, but that's up to you.
Well, I per se.
So now you can put something like that in there, that caveat that says, hey, if you exceed FTs for this amount of time, their timelines move up. You know,
that's
okay.
You know, that is my concern with the 2032.
Yeah, because it addresses some of those issues.
And so this document is an optimistic outlook.
Yes.
What you're saying is that if we don't fulfill that, if we don't meet this optimistic timeline, that we need to have a plan B. And I think that's the only reason.
That'll be TWR's ruler here. You know, it's not as much how good our plan is. It's like, well, how do you address the MTs or exceed these thresholds?
Absolutely.
And that's the metric.
Yeah.
I think those undesirables, right, you were going to address by saying, hey, look, we pumped the water down and got you out of the drive. We're going to fix it for you. So one of those undesirable results gets it, but there are other ones.
Yeah.
And the DWR ultimately may call you on that if you don't have a methodology to address that built in somehow.
Yeah.
But it doesn't have to be something crazy. We can just talk about what that is. It's okay.
But to have anything on a demand management plan, the process has to be completed with it to establish a defensible sustainable yield. So,
right. Isn't that already done?
Not in my opinion.
It's modeled, but the model has also.
I'll say to the numbers, Brendan, and
what are the purple triangles?
Well,
those are goals.
That's groundwater elevation, not sustainable yield. Sustainable yield is falling upon a business location.
You remember early on when we saw some of those, like, wait a minute,
yeah,
we want more info on this one. Those kind of subbasin sustainable yield was a foot and a half, acre foot and a half.
That's sustainable yield. So, to not kick the can down the road, but to Michael's point, I mean, you have to work through some of this, get the support information that the bank is allowing you to get to be able to implement something. So I can make that happen as soon as you can.
So it's scrolling up.
You can't do it tomorrow.
The defining sustainable yield is
job one.
Job one.
Yeah. They are in the middle of running.
And as they revised and reviewed and
vetted, right? And knowing that the model has problems, that ultimately what matters is what's the groundwater period.
Yeah.
And that if we're continuing declines and we're approaching MTs, we need to make a course correction. Sooner than 2032 is what you're saying.
I want to know if we have it.
Well, we need to make that. We need to put that.
If you can get the data.
Something just really quick.
The data is the well level. Ultimately, that's the metric by
which you can put a model on that, and there are ways to do that, but we'll all talk about that.
One
thing I just want to say is they're redoing the modeling right now. So the new updated model is being created as we speak.
Okay.
And ultimately, it is required to be put in early 2026, the spring of 2027, and updated with our plan updates. Right?
So you two have been noticeably
today.
EWR?
No. Right.
I was just going to say, you know, I mean, we're talking about data and lack of data. We don't have lack of data in the coastal subways. We have a world dense grid there.
Yeah,
I think as far as lack of wells, that's not the issue here.
What they're talking about is the math about transmissivity. So that's a model character, right? And ultimately, the more accurate and less granular you get on that, then the better it is, ultimately. And so they're just, that discussion, I think, is about the inputs that go into creating that granularity is a concern. Right,
but I think you have an acceptable range.
Under
you're never going to be right on.
No, it is modeled no matter what. Right, I mean there is no way to actually know a number. Right, that doesn't exist.
Yeah,
it's modeled no matter what. We have a model now. That model does have some granularity issues. I will be honest with you. It's not. There are some things where the data could be more finite and be better. We will see how that gets addressed in this new modeling character, which happens in early 2027. That's just a small factor in the sustainable yield calculation, though. So don't expect it to go from 1.7 to 3.5, because I'm telling you that ain't happening, right? It's only just going to be like from 1.7, maybe it's 2.2. You know what I mean? These numbers could be sort of, you know, because that part of the calculation is not the big denominator. It's a small part of the calculation.
I think thinking through Michael's point, though, you know, it occurs to me
probably the easiest, fastest way to influence behavior now is get the credit system going.
Yeah, I think you do want, to Michael's point, you want to influence behavior if that's like the most minor thing you can do without a really heavy-handed hammer. And maybe you do need that, but I mean, we do want it. Appropriately influence behavior, because if you wait until 2032, there's going to be a lot of stuff that happens, just like there was a lot of stuff that happens running up to
100%
the GSP being put in place, right? Or the threat of a well moratorium, right? It went, lots of people just went out and drilled wells because they could, right? And people could go out and do a lot of inappropriate pumping in the meantime. That has a long-term negative effect for many constituents, right? And I think we want to avoid that to the extent possible. So, and yeah, there are areas that do have very good data, and then there's areas that have really poor data. And that's what Bill and I have been talking about to some degree, because some of our wells are in that area where it was like, why am I being theoretically curtailed to the same level as pumpers in Pasquenta when my well is
30 feet stable, barely close to the river,
and stable. So that's that area where there's bad data, which so some of us will say, wait a minute, don't make bad policy off of bad data, but you're correct. There are areas of the basins where there's great data.
Sorry to put a time check. So Justin, let me get some quick meat again.
Can we get to, we haven't made that yet.
Well,
can we get to, I think we have a pretty good talking point about where
we're talking
about. You know what I mean? I understand.
I just want to say
that. Yeah. Attention.
Go ahead. If I can make my point. I appreciate the vagueness in where we're going here and why we're couching this a certain way. But I think where we're couching this vagueness, it has to do with data. It's the fact that growers really are not on board with this yet. They don't. There's a lack of awareness going on. There's a lot of things that play here. What I don't appreciate about plan again is the vagueness as well. And so I realize there's certain things we're not going to figure out. We're not going to determine between now and people. There are certain policy issues that I think are huge. Mainly in the credit system, as an example. But I think, what I want to see out of this, I mean, if we're serious about demand management, I want to see a serious voluntary measure program. I want to see something we can hang our hat on. It's not something we're going to get sued over. We're talking about voluntary measures, and I want to be aggressive doing that. And so 3 years of being aggressive on voluntary measures, we'll get the message out that we've got this issue to deal with. And if you want to do more, great. But it's like, I take this, I accept the voluntary measure approach. I think we've got to take it seriously and not gloss it over and fund it adequately. So that's where I'm at.
Yeah, I agree with
that. Right now, there's around $500,000 in that voluntary measure budget currently. To keep going, and by the way, that number still with the Red Center as it sits. Ultimately, when you talk about that, we can decide in this room to make that bigger or smaller.
Well, I mean, to my point,
right? We can expand that.
I mean, the opportunity just to convert people to surface water is huge between now and 2032. There's 10,000 acre feet of surface water that we're not using.
More than that.
More than that.
But isn't it kind of hit mess though, year to year?
You can make that case, but if you're using it when it's available, when it's not able to be used,
right.
You're getting recovery on the side of this, but it's a big number.
Yeah.
It's more than half. Just
what were you saying? Next
steps. And by the way, that's a completely valid point. I think we can all say that. Yeah. Completely valid point. I would like to propose, right, that we get another meeting on the books within this month. And I would like to propose that we decide now whether or not we're going to bring somebody in to begin having this discussion with us and when. I don't have an attorney preference. We have one in contract already. You guys can decide to go with this guy. To me, that doesn't matter. Right? I think they're all experienced attorneys. The guys that we have done this, they do whatever. I actually really don't care. You guys have a preference. Up to you. It's not my thing.
But just to respond to that, that's fine, both those things, like to develop some urgency, but also clearly define the agenda like really early and make it a manageable agenda. Like, let's pick one or two of those things to address in P.
Right? Yeah.
Because otherwise we get here, like,
yeah,
we just, whatever, we spent 2 hours.
And that's kind of what I'm talking about right now.
We're in the meat of the matter. Let's work on priority. I'm going to prioritize and work on items in that order of priority. So, and then say, and then even take that a step further and say, this will be defined by this date.
Then on to the next.
Item A.
Done.
Yep. Yeah. Next item.
That's great. And what we can do for our next January one is bring a proposal over of what that looks like. And then negotiate that and say, here's our priorities, right?
You can do that email and get the ball rolling.
If you guys want to, it's fine. Right? That's fine. I'm going to tell you, you probably won't have a contract complete with an attorney to meet before the end of this month. So
we might not need an attorney by the end of the month. But
that's what I'm saying.
I'm just trying to create some. We don't have that much time.
There's probably some authority
working on that right now. Just so you know.
I don't know what the time frame is.
Prioritization of.
Yes, they reached out and said, hey, this is where I'm headed. What do you think?
It's as simple as saying items 2, 3, and 4.
There's someone who's already
discussing items for the next meeting.
Is working on the prioritization of these action items?
No, I believe in contact with Teasdale on funding, et cetera.
And I'll get an attorney.
And on attorney. I think he spoke with this attorney.
Oh, there were somebody working on getting a contract executed with an attorney.
Getting the facts to discuss.
Yeah,
getting the facts. Does that make sense?
He's talking about the information from the attorney to determine how much that costs, whether it's
and how much
available is, so that we can actually say we can't do this.
It's one thing to say, hey, attorney here present. Well, wait a minute, you only get X amount of hours. Okay, how are we gonna?
Yeah.
The next step on that is for this group to figure out how do we want to implement that time so that we can get the job done. Right?
Yeah.
You don't want to use develop on day one, and we can't. We don't have somebody to help with the guardrails.
So is everybody agreeing? Let's first say, we want to work on getting attorney in the room. I hear that. That's great. Right? Everybody agrees to that? Are you getting ahead of you on this? Yes. Is that attorney this guy? Because ultimately, no matter what we do, we don't want to spin our wheels. We should say, hey, let's start working on this. It's going to take a little minute.
And this guy is.
Or do you want to decide that in the next meeting?
Am I correct?
Do you want to get
the guy that's working on this? Should be, in my opinion, the guy to be current board. I bring another guy on board.
Doesn't even have familiarity with this document. This guy does. He's on a board.
It cost you $30,000 to start over. Additional $30,000.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I don't want to have another 2 hour meeting to talk about what we're going to do the next week.
Right.
So this is the bureaucracy at its finest.
But ultimately, if you want me to decide, I do.
That's the same thing. Yeah. Do it over email. I'm going to do it right now.
Two and three are very important.
Two and three.
Get Joe Keynes on.
So you guys want, tell me, which one do you want in your next meeting?
I heard plan area was number 2, build determination, which was number 3. 4 was allocation and credit system, which you should just let those into 2.
Yes.
And then I would say that the other one that the group talked about was curtailment. That you might want to delve in a little bit just to at least put it through. Whether or not it's quite the level of detail is TBD, but I was hearing that folks kind of want to think through practically what would this look like.
4, 5, and 6 are for me
highest priority.
Pick the first 2 and work on
them. All right, so let's do 4 in our next meeting. We'll do it by number. So we'll do item 4 in our next meeting. 4 is?
Funding
allocation credit system. And we talked about breaking that into 2 components.
Yes.
You got it.
The start is top, up to the bottom.
You're talking about Appendix A,
yes.
Not the sections.
Two through six overall, I'm hearing, are important. So the spirit that it sounds like you might, for the next meeting, take on two and three, which is plan area and sustainable yield determination. And then following meetings, we'll take on the other ones, but people will kind of like think through a little bit of like what that content and the discussion would look like and the information needs to support that discussion to kind of confirm this, like this sequence of discussion makes sense.
Perfect. And then it'll be two through seven because we're going to be two.
Right. Exactly.
You know, the other one,
say that again.
Item four is going to become two items. See, but the goal was on the next meeting is to do go over two and three.
Correct.
And then the following one was four through seven?
No.
We don't.
But leading up to that next meeting where we're going to discuss these, we should probably, as a group, as you say, make comments to each other, to a group, whatever, email. Or I mean, I've got some stuff already on paper that I've been willing to share with everyone. There's, you know, secrets there.
We're back to the question, though, that was posed. Is there an objection on the route with the attorney? Because
no objection.
It's just, if we've got to work on that, I'm happy to work on it. I'm just going to go down something that's
not what you've
got with the group.
Yeah,
let's not. Does the county have any objection? I mean, it's got to be funded. I mean, I'm not making a joke.
So ultimately, what we're talking about right now is A tells me he has a bottom about 50 grand, right? That could potentially be used to fund an attorney.
Yep, they told me.
This is this meeting.
That gets you 100 hours.
So ultimately, what we need to do is find out from him now. Hey, is that enough?
So that's what the supervisor is thinking. How many hours can we get so that we get a summary to bring back to this group? Well, this is about what you can get. Then we overlay that with what these goals are and how we're trying to do it so we ensure we get to the finish line. Does that make sense?
Yes.
So that's the work that's got to be done. I'm happy to work on that. I'm working on it right now. Happy to continue that. It's got to be with supporting on helping that and something down somebody's throat.
And if you support having an attorney involved in the process and that. Or we can get it funded.
That specific term. Because they've already done that.
Yeah, no, so anybody else commentary on that? Sure. Before we go, everyone's good with it?
Good.
Yeah. Okay. We're doing that. And then I can, it's no problem if you want me to get that information. If you can get me contact with the attorney, I'll wrangle it. It's no problem.
We'll talk after me. I got messages back and forth. Hey, look, I'm not. Not my authority at this point.
Let me be the guy, and then there's no like question of who's putting it together. I'll be the guy.
We'll talk about it.
Yeah. And then that's easy to do. All I need to get is a budget from him, how much of the finalized budget from Eddie, and we can go there.
Perfect.
So,
we'll use that grant by two, by the
way. Sometimes things are said unrealistically in my experience. I just want to make sure it's actually true. So I've got to see the numbers for myself.
There's a lot of other meetings in my schedule for January. We're going to try and set a date today for the next.
Let's do it by email. I'll email everybody up the line. There. Here's the bowl. I'll give you all a doodle bowl.
Yeah.
We can vote.
Okay. We wrapped that one. Thanks for staying on longer. And so we're going to wrap up and then we'll circulate about the next action items. Thank you so much.
Did we have anybody on the phone?
Yes, we did. We had
6 people.
All right. Thank you, everyone, who called in and listened in to the conversation, and we will be in touch.